Jesus warns his disciples that their ministry in his name will meet opposition, requiring absolute trust in God and an unswerving commitment to their Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher and a slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing is secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our comfort and our compassion, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We've got quite the text this morning, don't we? We could have a little bit of fun with each one of those. But I'm going to stick with gospel. I think there's plenty to discuss there. Our gospel lesson today, if you were here last Sunday, you'll notice that it's picking up right off where we left last week. There's a lot going on here, and it's important that we read these two passages as one. So to recap real quick, Jesus is preparing to send the 12 out on a mission out to the house of Israel. He's sending them to share the good news, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, and to cast out every demon. He has named his compassion for the lost sheep. He has equipped his apostles with the authority, and he has named the reality of what they are about to face. And that's where our text continues today. If you remember, we heard about the wolves last week. So, the disciple. Our text begins in Jesus talking about the role of a disciple. A disciple is not above, but like the teacher. And this comes with both the good and the bad. And Jesus really draws on, or points out, the bad here. They're going to be contested, and they're going to be slandered. Jesus also talks about not fearing. Not once, not twice, but three times Jesus says, "Do not fear." For do not fear, for Jesus is the true light to be proclaimed. Do not fear, for their souls are safe from those who wish to do them harm. Do not fear, for they are more valuable than sparrows. Jesus, the Father, even knows the number of hairs on their heads. And even if you only have a few of those, he still knows them. Sorry, I had to put that. I heard a really great line yesterday that, what was it? A well-worn path doesn't grow grass. So, there you go. Anywho, let's get back on track here. Okay, so he acknowledges that we are more valuable than sparrows, many sparrows. And then we have those two little verses where Jesus says that we must acknowledge him first. And these are some really interesting verses because these, I think, in my opinion, are terribly misused today to exemplify one's belief in God as being legit through chain emails and Facebook posts. You know what I'm talking about? You get this email that says, send this to so many people to prove your love for God and that you believe him, or the Facebook posts. Now, I'd be remiss if I didn't say, I've been there, I've done that. I, at one time, followed those two, so I'm not being judgmental here. But I feel that really misses the point of what's going on in those two verses. And then finally, Jesus is bringing this sword. Not to bring peace, but he's bringing a sword, the sign of divisions that are going to occur amongst families and friends. Oh, and that little bit at the end that says, follow me, which kind of sounds like an ultimatum if we don't follow him. So, what do we do with this, this fun little text? I'd like to wrestle with it a little bit this morning, if you would, because there is a lot more going on here than meets the eye. There's a lot more happening below the surface. Because Jesus isn't some political or religious rebel that's trying to get his friends killed. No, Jesus is here for a purpose. First, let's make a note that we do not live in the first century. I think that's pretty obvious. But we don't. We are not hunted. We are not persecuted. We are not sought after based on our beliefs in a God or beliefs in a system that is different than that of the empires. But nevertheless, there are still some application, especially when we look at our walk and our calling with Christ. It's going to produce some conflict. It's going to produce division along the way. Some of this is avoidable, some of it is not. I think we can all, if we're honest with ourselves, know that this is true. We've experienced here, we experience it now in our daily lives, this political fiasco that we live in, the discrimination that continues to run amok in our culture, the killing of innocent people, the lack of security that we feel in our homes and in our country, the issue of health care, who deserves it, who doesn't, and so on and so forth. The headlines are just packed full of these divisive issues. There's many of them out there, but even more opinions, a lot of them based on biblical truths. Now, the church in itself, we are no different, to be honest. If we look at the thousands of denominations throughout the Christian church, we are all split and divided because of what is proper as far as beliefs are concerned and what is the right act or the correct right for living one's faith in worshiping God. Again, I say many of these are unnecessary and avoidable. And the truth is, what is actually being sought out in all these situations? Is one seeking out self-righteousness, that I am right, or God's righteousness? Do I need to be right, or am I out to build relationships throughout? Am I sharing the good news and promoting healing as Jesus has instructed? The latter, the building of relationships, leads to peace, and it minimizes the conflict and the division. However, some conflict and division is not avoidable, especially when it comes to living with the integrity of sharing the truth of the gospel and bearing witness to the grace of God we've encountered ourselves in Christ Jesus. Now, we're going to have different opinions on this and different understandings of who God is. But if we seek first relationship, then we see the other as for someone who Christ died, the gospel. If we seek to prove my own rightness, that seeks division and chaos. The truth is, brothers and sisters, there is the potential of division between family and friends. That tension really exists. And there will be times of slandering of one's beliefs. It's a reality of the world we live in. It can be very cruel and unkind. But for one, I am thankful to God that we do not have to worry about being killed for our beliefs. Now, if we look at Luther's understanding of the commandment that thou shalt not kill, Luther goes on to expand that to being more than just physical death, but the emotional death that we cause one another. So we do, in a way, experience a form of death. But it is important what we find in our text today. What I think is most important is what we find in the middle of all of these warnings, these hard realities, these hard truths. Right in the middle there, Jesus says, do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear. Do not fear, for my message is the message of the truth of God, of a God of grace. Do not fear, for God has claimed you and keeps you. No thing, no person, nothing can take that away. Do not fear, for you are my beloved, my valued child. This invitation is not new. This idea of not fearing is scattered throughout the Bible. As we look at our Hebrew text this morning from Jeremiah, Jeremiah is in this deep lament. It's another example here where someone is experiencing deep grief in the midst of feeling overwhelmed by God's purposes. Yet, Jeremiah still acknowledges he trusts God's presence and protection in the midst of this conflict and division. Do not fear. Yes, it is true. It's true the road Jesus leads us down isn't all sunshine and rainbows. There are going to be difficulties. But at the same time, they're mixed with these beautiful God moments. So I invite you, brothers and sisters, to ultimately take stake in God's care and compassion throughout this journey. Trust that. Hold on to that. Acknowledge that. Especially when in the midst of conflict and division. Seek this truth, for it is yours for the taking. I pray that our prayers might be that we will be seekers of peace, not of a sword of division. I pray that we will be instruments of healing, not agents of conflict. And I pray that we may never forget of God's great compassion for you and for all those you encounter. Brothers and sisters, go without fear. Go in the confidence of God's desire to bring in all the sheep into God's fold. Go with the promises of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. Because we are called to be different. To be different and to make a difference. To be a difference in this world. We We are called to be messengers of truth and relationship builders in a time and place where many are desperately seeking out those things. All of God's beloved need to know of God's loving compassion for them in all that they do and encounter, especially the conflict and division. Amen.